Recording started. Again, whatever you say, can be used against you. Okay, so essentially, right, just to give like a...
Where's T?
So I'm walking...
Just like, Mishnah came everything we've done until this point, right? We said, Aleinu is saying our mission is to be Mishnah Be'ach Hashem, to create the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's step one of being Latei Gidul Aliyot HaBereishit, of bringing a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the world. But like we said yesterday, just praising Hashem isn't enough. We also need step two, which is Al Kein Nekavelach Hashem. We ask Hashem to join us and become a partner. And not just we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, but also Hashem does his part of bringing himself into the world. And we explain that involves bringing the Beis HaMikdash. And we explain that involves getting rid of Avodah Zarah. And all of this is going to be... It's for the purpose of Litakein Olam v'Malchut Shakai, to fix the world and bring it back to the state it's supposed to be in, which is Malchut Shakai, the kingdom of Hashem. Right? That's everything we said until now. We good until now? Great. Then we said that right now we're starting with the coal section. Anyone remember why I call it the coal section?
Oh, cool?
The coal section.
I thought you said cool the first time.
No, it is pretty cool.
Oh, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because there's a lot of coals?
Yeah. Because if you read the words, yeah.
Fine. Call it that way.
The chol b'nei v'sar yikru v'shmach l'chol v'sha'ar t'kir v'yidu kol yishvet t'vel ki l'cha t'chra kol b'arach yishavah kol ashar. Right? Essentially, and we'll go through all these phrases in a second. After we've explained how... After we've explained like how we want to take the steps to get to this state of Latei Gidul Aliyot HaBereishit, to get to this stage of the entire world is Malchut Shakai, now we want to explain exactly what that's going to look like in practice. So in Aleinu, we go through a couple of phrases to describe what this theoretical world is going to look like. Number one is V'chol B'nei Basar Yikru'u V'shmecha. Let's start with that. V'chol B'nei Basar Yikru'u V'shmecha. What does that mean?
Every human will call in Hashem's name.
Yeah, exactly. And like emphasis on like Kol B'nei Basar, not just the Jews. Everyone is gonna call out in Hashem's name. So this pasuk, this idea of everyone calling out to Hashem's name, you guys want to jump to like Sefania. Sefania is found in Treasar, near the end of Treasar. Sefania Parakimel.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Really?
Sefania?
You ever heard of Sefania before?
No.
Short state from the middle of Treasar. We probably.
I legit thought you were talking about Benot
Slip. Sefania Parakimel Pasuk Tet, right? In this Nebuah of Sefania, we're speaking about the entire world, about this point where the entire world is going to recognize the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and it makes sense that like these end books of Nevi'im Achronim are the ones we're drawing from for this end stage of Aleinu. These are all about like the end of days when everyone is going to turn to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Bless you. Zach, you want to read Parak Yom Pasuk Tet?
Sure.
Go for it.
Ki az epoch el amim safa bura lekra kulam b'shem Hashem v'avdo shem echad.
Fine. So the Baal Aleinu gets this idea of v'chol b'nei basar yikru'u v'shmecha. Everyone is going to call to Hashem from this pasuk in Sefania. That Hashem is going to bring us to this point where everyone is going to have a safa bura, some clear language, so that lekra kulam b'shem Hashem, so that everyone is going to be able to call in the name of Hashem v'avdo shem echad, and to all serve Him as one unit. And it's important to note before we speak about the significance of this, to note what this is contrasting, right? Because if you go all the way back, hold your finger in Spanya, you go all the way back to Sefer Bereishis, the beginning, in Perek Yudal. We have this story of Migdal Babel, right? The entire world got together to build a tower in the place called Babel. And
where is it?
In Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Bereishis. And I guess the important part is the opening pasuk of that parak. Gabby, you want to read it when you finish drinking?
Vayhi chol haaretz safa echad udvarim achadim.
Which means what?
Everybody was of one, all the land was of one language and singular things.
Exactly, and like united singular words. And how did that story end?
No question.
Yeah. Right, they got scattered out. Hashem was Bilbel Kol Sfatam. He confused all their languages, right? And we have to contrast the Safa Achad over here, the singular language over here that led to bad stuff, to the Safa Brura, the clear language that we find in Spanya. Because the difference, and this is a line that I heard once in the name of Steinsaltz, Latin even Steinsaltz.
Is that the person who writes the Steinsaltz?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I heard the name of someone. I think it was him. Either way, it's a good line regardless. The line is, we as Jews don't believe in uniformity, we believe in unity. Meaning, we don't want to get to the point where it's sefach ad, or everyone's the exact same, because that never ends well, because we just become one mass, one blob. But it loses all the nuance, it loses all the beauty. So instead, we want to get to this point of sefa brura. And if we read this back into Aleinu, and we understand where this is coming from, b'chol b'nei b'sari k'ru b'shmecha, the whole idea is that everyone is going to call to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not necessarily in the same way. There's going to be a Sefa Brura. Everyone's language is going to be clear that they have the same goal of calling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not necessarily going to be the exact same, and everyone's going to have that different Maslul and that proper Darach. But that's exactly what Avodas Hashem is, and we're going to build more on this in the next couple of lines. Right? Take the next line, for example, in Aleinu. Lafnot Elacha Kol Rishay Aretz. Who wants to take a stab at translating that?
Turn to you.
Oh, there was
Sean. What? The next line in Aleinu. Lafnot here. Come on, better. Lafnot Elacha Kol Rishay Aretz. Yeah. So that all the evil people of the land turn to you. And again, we have the same idea. That we don't want to get to the point. We're Dafka not saying that the ideal Malchus Hashem is where we get rid of all the Rasha'im and we're left with only the Tzadikim. We Dafka want all the Rasha'im to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, there's this Gemara that gets thrown around in like Elul time, but like it's relevant every single day of the year. In Masechet Yuma Pevav, the following Gemara. Amar Reish Lakish, Gedol HaTshuva Shedono Nasalo Shekishkagot. Right, tshuva is so great because it makes your intentional sins, turns them into accidental sins. And then the Gemara brings another line. No, Gedol HaTshuva Shedono Nasalo Kizchuyot. It's not just your intentional tshuva makes your intentional sins turn into unintentional sins. Your intentional sins turn into, like, merits. They turn into zchuyot. The Gemara explains the difference is that they turn into unintentional sins when you do tshuva only out of yira, out of fear. When you do tshuva out of ava, out of love for Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's when your zchuyot turn into zchuyot. And without getting into the former, the reason, like, it seems like it doesn't seem right. Like, you did something bad, how is that now? Like, I can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu erases your sins. But what does that mean for it to become a zchuyot, for it to become a good thing? And the whole point is that every single person alive is shaped by their experiences and shaped by their memories. So if a person does bad stuff, they have donut, they have intentional sins, that's not good. But if they eventually get to the point where they're now, where they've done tshuva and they're now devoting their entirety to worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be stained by their previous sins, but it's going to be built on those previous sins, because it's shaped. All their past experiences, be them positive or negative, have shaped who they are as a person, therefore have shaped their HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what this whole Gemara that in Sadikim Omrim B'Makom Shabali Tshuva Omdim, right? Someone who has shifted their lifestyle to be able to, who wasn't necessarily Obed Hashem in the past and now is Obed Hashem. They have life. That person has life experiences that allows you to serve Hashem in a different way than someone who has just been Obed Hashem his entire life. And that's exactly the whole point here. We want to be lachnut lachakol rishay aretz. Even the rishay aretz, the rishayim of the land, we want them to turn to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just want the malchut shakai. The ideal malchut shakai isn't just a world where we have everyone serving Kadosh Baruch Hu in the exact same way, because everyone has been doing this their entire life. No, we need that diversity. We need safa brura, clear language, but a language that's different. We need a universe full of tzaddikim serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, and people who have adopted this later on in life serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that diversity is exactly what Malchut Shakai is made up of. Moving on to Aleinu. Look at the Kol Sha'aretz, right? The next phrase we say, Yakiru v'yede'u kol yoshevei tevel ki lecha tichra kol barach tishava kol hashav. We want all the Yoshvei Tevel, all the residents of the world. I didn't have enough time to look into Yoshvei Tevel. Abu Dram didn't really comment on it. I didn't really have enough time to look at exactly what this phrase means as opposed to another description for Bnei Adam, why it's significant or if it's even significant at all. So we're going to put that on the side for now. But the point is, everyone in the earth is going to be Yakiru V'yedu. Everyone is going to recognize and going to know what? Ki lecha tichra kol barach, that to you every knee is going to bow, and to you Tisha B'Av Kol Lashon, every tongue is going to swear. So this is an explicit quote from Yeshayahu Perek Mem Hei. And I want to see it inside, not just because this quote comes from here, but because a lot of Aleinu comes from here. If you go to Yeshayahu Mem Hei, just feeling confident in their reading right now. David's feeling confident in his reading. Okay, go to
Yeshayahu.
Yeah, Yeshayahu Mem Hei. We're gonna start. Let's start in Pasuk Yudchet. We're gonna do a couple of seconds. Did you want to start Yeshayahu Mem Hei Yudchet?
Kicho Amar Hashem Borei Hashemayim Hu Elokim Yotzer Haaretz Ve'Osahu Chana Lo Tohu Diraha Lashevet Yitzara Ani Hashem Ve'Ein Od.
Okay, so essentially before, yeah, so first, like, we're going to see a lot of Aleinu references in the next couple of seconds. So the first is, yeah, Ani Hashem Ve'Ein Od. But the point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is created the world. Lo tohu v'ra, Hashem didn't create the world to be desolate, rather Lashevet Yitzara, he created the world to be settled. By the way, this is the makor for what mitzvah?
Peruvot. Oh yeah, Peruvot. Tomorrow on Gittai.
So you should release this name.
You should what?
And you've got a chetzi ben choron and a chetzi...
Yeah.
Oh, nachon, you're right.
That's from...
That's a great question.
Where's that from?
It's in Gittin, third part of Gittin.
It's also in Chagiga.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. So, but the point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world to be desolate, he created the world to be settled. To keep going, David, Pasuk Yotah.
Lo vaseter dibarti bimkom eretz choshech, lo amarti lezera Yaakov tohu vakshuni, ani Hashem dover tzedek magid meisharim.
Okay, right, Hashem didn't speak to Bnei Yisrael in secret, he didn't speak to them in darkness, he didn't say, well, why don't you come follow me in the desert. Right? That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Bnei Yisrael. I guess let's jump to Pasuk Kaf Gimel. But before we actually read it, right, like some other cool references to Aleinu, if we see at the end of Pasuk Kaf, we say, we speak of the other nations who are Mepalim El Yoshia. We speak, if you look at the end of Kaf Bet, we also have this idea of Kani Kel Be'in Od. But let's jump to Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Where we get this phrase, Ki lecha tikra al kol barach, Ki shavah al kol lashon. So when you get a chance.
Mi nishbati yatsa mipi tzedaka, davar v'lo yashuv, ki li tikra kol barach, Ki shavah al kol lashon.
Right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, the truth has come from my mouth, I'm not going to retract it, because to me, every knee is going to bend, meaning everyone's going to bow to me, and to me, Ki shavah al kol lashon, and everyone is going to swear to me. And there's a machlokin among the parshanim how to understand this last line, Tisha V'Ach Kol Hashem. Right? Does anyone want to take a stab at what they think it means? What does it mean that every tongue is going to swear to Hashem?
You swear by your God.
What does that mean?
It means they believe in it.
Exactly, 100%. When I swear in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the mainstream approach, the Radak takes, the approach we're going to take. It's like, the Malbim has another approach, which is that everyone is going to swear that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the true king. But it's less of the pshat of the psukim. The pshat of the psukim is that everyone is going to bow to Hashem, and everyone is going to swear in the name of Hashem. And essentially, the reason why this is significant to us is the difference between bowing to Hashem and swearing to Hashem.
So that's the two differences between the lavir and the yikrot. One of them is the actual thing, one of them is like the chesed l'tavr.
Oh, interesting. Expand a little bit more.
When you're bowing, you're doing like a physical thing, like the physical idol type of thing.
Okay.
And you're like swearing by it, something more like ideological. Same way, I have to get rid of the concept of the avodah zarah, like the kind of parallels that.
I love it. No, it's beautiful. That's exactly the point, right? Bowing to Hashem is explicit worship of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But also, this is the Tisha V'Ach Kol Lashon. It's not that I'm explicitly engaged in an act of worshiping Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm living my life. And when I live my life, like Tisha V'Ach Kol Lashon, and again, I don't know if this is pshat, but even if it's not pshat in the perspective or pshat in Aleinu, I think it's pshat in life, which is that when we live our lives, so really, Tisha V'Ach Kol Lashon is a metaphor for everything we do in life that isn't explicit worship of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because even those things that we don't do. It's the mundane speech we have. The promises and the commitments we make to people, that is something that gets elevated because we don't just do it stam, we do it in the name of Hashem. And we want to get to this point of when Yakiru Vidu Kolish Vetivel, when the entire world recognizes the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that it won't just be Ki Lachati Fa'al Barach, that the entire world worships Hashem, it also be Tishavah Kol Hashon. Also be just like our daily life is going to be directed towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that is how, like, Dot Mikra says this explicitly, but there are a couple of parshanim going back to the Pesukim that David read at the beginning. If you go to Mem Hay Yotet, right? Lo Basita Dibarti, Bimkom Eret Choshech, Lo Amarti Lezari Yaakov, To To Vakshani. When Hashem is saying, I didn't summon Bnei Yisrael out to the desert, I didn't speak to Bnei Yisrael in a vacuum. At least the way Dot Mikra explains it is that, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch was saying, I didn't create you to be a nation where the ideal way of worshiping me is removed from the world in this like ascetic bubble. I want you to be part of the world. I want you to settle the world. And that's exactly how we're supposed to worship the Kaddish Baruch. So we're seeing that the two main things that are being emphasized here are what exactly is Malchut Shakai? It's a kingdom of diversity. We have different kinds of people worshiping the Kaddish Baruch, speak different language, and yet all are working towards the same goal. And we also have this idea that it's not just our entire life is actively engaged in the Kaddish Baruch, we try to remove ourselves from the world, but we use the world and we're engaged in the world, and even the seemingly mundane parts of our lives are used for Kaddish Baruch. So the main difference between Jewish worship of God and Christian worship of God. For Christianity, the main emphasis is asceticism, and the ideal is the priest or the monk is able to separate himself from the physical world. In Judaism, we embrace it. That's why, as opposed to a priest who can't be married, a Kohen Gadol has to be married, and we have a backup wife for a Kohen Gadol to make sure that he's married to the Avoda and Yom Kippur.
Is it a backup wife for a Kohen?
Yeah. It's the beginning of the Gemara in Yuma. You have a backup wife, so in case his wife dies, another wife will be ready to marry him.
And she can't get married at all? There's like a lady that's just waiting, can never get married.
Or, I mean, not like. It's Dafka for Yom Kippur. Okay. Yeah. Like, we're not close to the rest of the year that she might die. But on Yom Kippur, we get a single woman, we have her ready.
Oh, you shouldn't have to like stay a single woman forever.
No.
Fun, she's very young. She's so fun. Probably gonna die after the Kohen Gadol. She like once she like if the Kohen Gadol is like 60 and she's like 30 at the time, then she can get married.
30? You kidding? She's like
12.
Come on,
yeah, she's maybe. Like wait 12 years for a time.
Okay. Come marry a
13-year-old. You can. Ever Kedusha?
Okay. Whatever. We're not going to argue about that.
We digress.
Cohen Gadol's
30.
Life.
Oh, 30. No,
that's what you said.
Yeah, because the Cohen, she was 12.
Whatever. This matter.
Continue in Alinu. Okay. Now, after we've described this ideal Machut Shakai is, we now state. We're not continue stating exactly what is going to happen in this world. Which is Lefanacha Hashem Elokeinu Yehovah Yipalu. In front of you, Hashem, we're gonna bow, and we're gonna fall. V'lechvod Shemcha Yikar Yitinu, and we're gonna give honor to your name. And I don't want to get into the differences right now between Kavod and Yakar, one because we don't have time, and two because I didn't look into it so much yet. But the emphasis here is Lechvod Shemcha Yikar Yitinu. We're not just giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name mean, as we see throughout Tanakh? Any really bad chassidim?
Can't say I am.
As Rabbi Tag would say, it's a shame you don't know. That is what he would say and has said on many occasions.
A shame, S-H-A-M-E.
Yeah, we're talking about the shame Hashem. What the shame Hashem represents.
It's also shame Shin Mem.
Oh.
Hashem. It's a pun?
Never mind. Okay. The point is Hashem's name is Hashem's kili reputation, the way we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So the point is, right, and it's very relevant to our theme because our goal is latei kidu lali yoter b'shi, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world to make him relatable, right? We said the difference between Ram and Gadol is what? Said this a few times. Who remembers?
Ram is
relatable versus not.
Yeah, to be Miramim Hashem, to make Hashem Ram is so great, but like he's not relatable. Be Megadol Hashem, to make him great, is to show that he's relatable. So the whole point is the Chodesh Yikar Yitinu, by giving kavod and honor to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's shame, his reputation, the way we perceive him in the world, means that we're able to perceive a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that he's relevant in our lives, and this is like the next stage in the Malchut Shakai. We want this diversity. We want a world where our entire lives are devoted to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we want a world where we're able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in every aspect of our lives. His Shem Hashem is relevant in everything we do. Okay, then we get to the concluding points, right? Like we've said a million times, what is Alenu?
Pep rally.
Alenu is a pep rally. It's we're all standing at Mechatzar Beit HaMikdash, and the guy gets up there, Alenu, we're like, Alenu. He's like, L'shabayach, and we're like, L'shabayach. Okay, so the final eyes of the pep rally are going to become much, much more powerful. Right? These are the concluding things that we want drilled in our heads. So the message is summed up in like two sentences. Bikablu chulam et ol machutecha. Translate.
Everyone except the yoke of your rulership.
Ol is the kingdom, though.
What?
Ol is the yoke.
What is a yoke?
What you put on your ox to guide it.
Okay. What? So what does that mean for Avodas Hashem? Are Avodas Hashem the burden?
No.
Responsibility.
Right. Our Avodas Hashem is our duty. Right? What?
No, you said it like he did. You said duty. You didn't say duty, you said duty. You said unconsciously, you said it in a British accent. It was funny.
I guess I hate the same thing.
Right? He was. We're not going to make fun of him.
No, we're not making fun of him. It's funny that you said it.
We're not going to make fun of me either.
Okay, sorry. You were making fun of him. It's like mocking us up.
It's exactly what I thought.
I didn't either. But the point is, yeah, Gabe is exactly right. That Malcolm Shemayim is our duty.
I just like Duffin was laughing because he said duty.
Okay. But the important thing to point out about Ol Malchut Shemayim, which I think is a phrase which Gabe is 100% right, but I think it's something we don't think about enough, which is the fact that it's not just that we have Ol Malchut Shemayim, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu put reins on us and force us to do something, it's Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, the Kabluch Kulam Ol Malchut Shemayim. Meaning this isn't that we were born into a life and forced to do it. It's we accepted this upon ourselves. It's we chose to put a yoke on ourselves. And that's important. Because number one, it means we actively chose it.
Is that true?
It. What do you mean?
Is that true though? You can't really give up that quest.
So I mean, first of all, there's like the whole like metaphysical level, which is at Har Sinai we chose to accept the Torah, and everyone's neshamas we all accepted it. But also there's the more practical level, which is that every single person, and like I probably shouldn't be recording this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Even though we, like, you know the Amish thing? The Amish thing of, I forget what it's called, starts with an R, where, okay, yeah, either way.
Reverse history?
No. In Amish communities, in like the late teens, early 20s, everyone in the community goes out for 6 months to a year.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that's called?
Rite of passage.
No.
It's like a word. Either way.
Like missionaryism? Like
what?
Being a missionary?
What do they do?
They go around and they act all promiscuous to see if they prefer the outside world, and then if they don't, then they come back to the Amish community.
Yeah.
They're like
really?
They're very like orthodox.
Promiscuous isn't the right word.
They go out partying, I don't know if anyone has
visited an Amish community, but it's very very traditional, very very secluded. Yeah, they go out, and it's not like you're dafka going to like parties and brothels.
Like
remember, you go see the world, like you expose yourself to technology, you expose yourself to culture, you expose yourself to yeah, whatever.
So what's it called?
Rumspringa. Rumspringa.
So basically, teens, they just let them out and then see if they come back?
Yeah, so it's like 18, between like 18 and 24, they go up for 6 months to a year. The thing is, 95% come back and return to the community they grew up in. And it becomes much stronger. And like the phenomenon of going off the derech is much, much, much less common in Amish communities than it is in Jewish communities. Because when they come back to the community, they choose to come back. They made the choice, and it wasn't just imposed on them. And the reality is, that's what happens to most Jews. It's not built into our system, because we can't build into our system. But everyone throughout their life goes through some kind of religious, I don't want to call it crisis, but some religious discovery, where they switch from the religious path that they were raised in, and decide a religious path for themselves. And for some people that means doing the exact same thing that your parents did, but you're choosing at the time. For some people that means if you were raised in a home that I don't want to use the word less religious, but like, you know what I mean when I say less religious, a less religious home, and they discovered the past themselves, or they were raised in a more religious home and they became less religious and discovered the past themselves, or you at different points of your life go through different phases. Everyone has their own religious journey, and like, this is around the age where that happens, where we discover our own religious identity. So essentially, yes, we all are Mikabel or Omoku Shemaim at some point in our lives. Like we don't like to talk about it because, but like, the reality is that's true.
What if you don't?
You do.
If Chilani Jews, they don't.
What they, at a certain point, like, and it's just like a fact of growing up. We forget the religious part of it. Like, you choose the way to live your life. Most people don't live the entirety of their life completely passive, just doing what they've been told to do without actively.
No, I get that, but if they're not, they don't accept the also deny it.
No. Yeah, so but my point is everyone chooses how to live their life. And everyone who works with the Kaddish Baruch Hu does so at some point because they choose to do it. Not everyone chooses it, and we want to get to the point where everyone does it. But the point is everyone who is doing it is choosing it. So that's exactly what Kabbalat Olam HaChaim, you are choosing to do this, but there has to be recognition on the fact that the choice is not a choice to, when I'm inspired, I'm going to serve God, but when I'm not inspired, it's going to go away. It's you're accepting an ol, you're accepting a yoke, and that's exactly what Gabe was saying, it's a duty. It's a yoke is something where the ox is constricted, and the ox has to walk in a certain path, and you're choosing to abide yourself and to commit yourself to certain commandments and rules and obligations and a certain lifestyle. And that means, yes, in these moments of inspiration, I got to do it, but also in those moments where I'm not so inspiration. Because it's like a marriage. A marriage can't be something that only lasts when there's this intense romance, because it's not always an intense romance. Marriage is something of commitment. And when you commit, you stick to it through thick and thin. The same thing with we describe our relationship with Kaddish Baruch Hu as a marriage, right? By Har Sinai, we were as if we are chatan going out to greet our kala. When we put on tefillin, we say Eristich Yulam, we're engaged, we're betrothed to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that's the whole point. Kabbalat Olam HaChaim is we're accepting upon ourselves, we're choosing it, but we're choosing a commitment. And we want to get to the point where everyone chooses that. Bikablu Chulam in Olam HaChaim, right? That's the Malchut Chai, where everyone themselves chooses to accept upon this old worshiping Kaddish Baruch Hu. But the important point to emphasize is that not everyone is going to worship a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the exact same way. I'm not just saying, going back to the terms I don't like that I used before, of more religious, less religious. Right? Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Malachim, says as follows. Hilchos Malachim Muhammad Parachet Halachayud. Then Moshe Rabbeinu lo hinchil ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvot ela li-Yisrael. Moshe only gave the mitzvot to Yisrael. And then he continues, "Aval misha lo ratza in konfinatol kabel Torah mitzvah." But someone who isn't Jewish, if they want to convert, they can. But if they don't want to convert, we don't force them to keep Torah mitzvah. However, the chin siva Moshe Rabbeinu mipia gvura lachuf et kol beeholam lekabel kol mitzvot shetzavu Noach bekomish lo kibel yareik. But even though we're not going to force non-Jews to convert and to accept Tariyak mitzvot, we're still going to force everyone to keep the Sheva mitzvot bnei Noach. And he goes on to explain the different levels a little bit more. What? Yeah. That's the one difference where, like, even though for the Sheva mitzvot bnei Noach, anyone know what they are?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Don't eat limbs off live animals.
Okay.
Don't kill.
Okay.
Arias.
Okay.
Court systems dealing.
I'll give an easy acronym to remember. Okay, it's the big three.
Yeah.
Right, like Shvichu Damim Gilayim.
Oh yeah. Oh, and then Avodah Zarah not to have any
Besides
for Yeah, and Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet. Avraham Menachai, Birchas Hashem, which is you've made the cursing Hashem. Gezel, don't steal, and Din, the name of court system. So the big three, Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet. But the point is, yeah, for all those, even if for stealing, you're not chayav misa. If you have Tarak mitzvah, if for someone who's only obligated in the Shabbat mitzvah, then yeah, you're chayav misa for all those. What that means, because we don't actually kill someone, is a separate thing. But the point is that some people, the Kabbalat Olam HaChaim means accepting Tarak mitzvah. For some people, Kabbalat Olam HaChaim means accepting Shabbat mitzvah Noach. But the point is that we have this diversity, but everyone worships HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prescribed to them. Because it's not supposed to be a world of uniformity, it's supposed to be a world of unity. Okay. Then, as we finish up the pep rally, after every v'kablu chulam and olmachutacha, everyone accepts the olmachut shemayim. We then say v'tim loch aleihem mehirah liolam pe'er. Meaning what?
You rule over us.
Yeah.
Forever.
Hashem is going to rule over everyone.
Quickly rule over it forever.
You know that quote? It's like from some Hasidic Rebbe that they say when he was a kid. He said this. I forget that. Where is Hashem? Wherever you choose to let him in. Have you guys heard that quote? It's a great quote. the point is, again, this is all like kiviyachol, but the prerequisite for having this Malchus Hashem, this Malchus Hashem, this concept of Timloch Aleihem Har Olam Ed, that Hashem rules over the world, not just temporarily, but Le'olam for Ed, Le'olam for Ed, for all of eternity, has to be Kabbalat Olam Malchus Shemayim. Because if it's only that, we have these moments of inspiration where we love a Kaddish Baruch when we want to do some mitzvot, and then after those moments of, and then during those moments of inspiration, we see Malchus Hashem in the world. But after those moments of inspiration, we kind of give it up. Then it's Timloch Aleihem that Hashem is ruling over us, but it's not Le'olam for Ed, it's not for eternity. The only way to secure that happens, to ensure that happens, the prerequisite for that is first Kabbalat Olam Malchus Shemayim, accepting Hashem as an Ol, as a, not as a romantic thing, but as a commitment to second thing, and then we're going to have this idea of Timloch Aleihem Har Olam Ed. Okay, fine. We're nearing the end. We end with right, I guess, the summary of everything. The reason why we're doing all this, right? We're trying to create this ideal where the entire world sees Malchus Hashem, and we're trying to be Latikud Ali Tarbashi. Why is this? Ki Hamachut Shalachahi. Right? This isn't just like some aspirational thing that we want to do because we think it's cool and we think it's nice. Because this is right. Because the Malchus belongs to you. So like we said before, Litakein Olam HaMalchut Shakai, what does the word Litakein imply?
It's broken right now.
Exactly. So this isn't the way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is Ki HaMalchut Shalachahi, that the Malchus belongs to Hashem. Right? And this is like the final line of our pep rally. We're saying this is why we're doing all this. Then we throw in this line, and Hashem, you're going to rule for all of eternity in honor, in glory. Abu Jaham makes the point that like this line isn't really necessary. It's kind of there to transition into the next pasuk we're going to quote, and I'll explain that in a second. But so let's skip that for now. We say, like it says in your Torah, Hashem nimloch biolam va'ed. Where does this pasuk come from? Shmuel what? What context?
She says too much over here.
Anyone know the context? Okay, jump to Shmuel Tedva. Right? Where does this pasuk Hashem Yimloch V'Olam V'Ed come from?
Har Sinai?
Close. Shirat Hayam. Right after Kriyat Yamsuf, we say Hashem Yimloch V'Olam V'Ed. Hashem is going to rule for all of eternity. But it's super important to understand, right, what's going on right after Kriyat Yamsuf, to understand the context of this pasuk, because it gives so much more meaning to this pasuk. Gabe, you feeling up to reading?
Pardon?
You feeling up to reading?
Yes.
Start from, we're in Perek Tetvav, start from pasuk Gedalot.
Gedalot.
Yeah.
Shamu Amim. Yurkazun. Phil Achaz Yoshvei Pilatus.
What does that mean? Nations are going to hear about this great event that happened, Kriyat Yamsuf, and they're going to tremble. Chil achaz yishrei pelashet, some like tremor is going to grip the plishim, meaning the world's going to be scared. The whole entire world is going to be scared because of what happened. Keep going. Edom is going to be like astonished and blown away. The gods of Moab are gonna be like gripped by shaking and trembling. And right, all the people of Canaan are gonna namogu, they're gonna melt. Keep going. Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm not entirely sure how to translate that.
Ad Yavod Am Chashem. Ad Yavod Am Zu Kanisa.
Until this nation that Hashem has acquired passes by. Yeah.
This nation will be required.
Yeah. Keep going. Actually, skip the pasuk Yudchet.
Hashem Yimloch Ve'Olam
Ve'Ed. Right, this is the context. After we see the entire nation is going to see a Kaddish Baruch Hu, they're going to be trembling, and they're going to recognize the greatness, then Hashem Yimloch Ve'Olam Ve'Ed. So Hashem Yimloch Ve'Olam Ve'Ed has two layers, right? What what's like the simple superficial meaning if we only saw those four words? What does the Pasuk Hashem Yimlok Olam Ve'ed mean?
Forever.
Yeah, for all of eternity, for all of time. But based in the context of what's going on in Az Yashir, what's the deeper level?
Over everyone.
Yeah, it's not just like over all time, but over everyone in the entire world. So, and this is going to be like a little linguistic thing, so like if it doesn't make sense, then it's okay. Right? If you look back in Elena, we say... Yeah, that's what we're doing looking at Elena.
Oh, that's what we're doing?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Thought you were looking at Tefila.
Elena is Tefila?
We're only doing
that. Tefila, not Tefila.
Okay, he's Sfardi.
He's Sfardi.
Bitzimloch Aleihem Mehirah Liolam Ba'ed. We say Hashem is going to rule... We say Hashem is rule for everyone. Because the kingdom Hashem is yours, implying that Hashem's kingdom is over everyone. Because like we said yesterday, you need to get rid of the other stuff, the Avodah Zarah first, before Hashem is able to fully able to secure his regime over everyone. So that implies Hashem's regime over everyone. And then we say Lo'olam Yatim Melech V'Kavod, and you're able to rule forever because we say Hashem Melech V'Olam Ve'ed. So because the simple reading of the pasuk is that Hashem rules for all of time, we slip in this phrase Lo'olam Yatim Melech V'Kavod, that Hashem is going to rule for all of time. But the deeper meaning really goes back to Kiyamachu Shalachahi. Hashem Melech V'Olam Ve'ed doesn't just apply Hashem is going to rule for all of time, but also rule over everyone. Kiyamachu Shalachahi because the entire kingdom is actually yours, right? Okay. That pretty much ends Aleinu. And this is when we say Aleinu on Rosh Hashanah during Musaf, this is where Aleinu ends. And then we get into like V'na'amar, like we beat Avon B'Yakov, and we do all those like V'na'amars that come afterwards in Malchut. Yeah. But then, when whoever instituted Aleinu to be at the end of davening, added in this extra pasuk, which is what?
Why'd you say
Ushmo
three times?
That's how we do it.
It's
the tune.
I was at a show once, like not my own show, and I was eating in Coke, and I got in a lot of trouble for repeating it.
Yeah, you
call it Ushmo. You do it almost every time.
It's a problem.
I've never heard it before.
Yeah,
no, we
just
go.
It
sounds weird.
We just
go,
Benamar, 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 Benamar,
Benamar, Benamar, Benamar, Benamar, Benamar, Benamar, Benamar, Benamar,
That's much better.
That's exactly what
you're
saying.
Wow. No, because you're
really
right.
It's like
either way, right? Can someone translate this
pasuk? Do you say Aleinu as a...
Wait. We'll get this part of Ashkenazim later. V'hayah Hashem l'malcha kol ha'aretz. Actually, let's go see this inside. Jump to Zechariah, Perek Yodalad. Zechariah is at the very end of Treyasar. This is the last thing we're going to see inside, but we have to because it is so good.
Ooh, that's for Malachi.
Zechariah Perek Yud Dalet. Pasuk Yud Dalet Tet. Right? Okay. Anyone read? Gedalit Tet.
Deviti. How should we read? Ish.
Wait,
where are you?
Gedalit.
The Haya Hashem Malach Al Kol Ha'aretz.
Translate.
And it will be, and it was a Hashem.
And it will be, right? The vav means brings this past tense to future tense.
Vav haifuch.
Your dalet tet.
Oh, you knew that.
Okay, yeah, keep going.
God will be the king over all of the land.
Okay.
Vayomahu, and on that day, yeah, it will be. God is one, and his name is one. Because right now, he's multiple.
Okay, what does that mean that Hashem is multiple now?
It means he's not unified by our understanding of him. Right? You have to understand there's a chiluk. Either it's the gavra to the chafza or the chafza to the gavra, right?
You're throwing words around.
No, I'm not. Either the hava mina is that what's God? God is what God is, and we perceive it whatever. It doesn't matter. No, we're saying, oh, what matters, at least what we're saying here, is how we perceive God. And so God will be one the day we perceive him as one.
So Rashi,
if you say it three times, God will.
No, okay. We're gonna see exactly what Ben is saying, but like in the words of Rashi.
Oh,
right, Svi. Are you off to read some Rashi? Okay, but you have to be like loud and clear and enunciate and like emphasize.
Not like
me. Think you could do it? Okay. So before we get there, there's this Rashi on a pasuk that we say every once in a while. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
Right?
Okay, whatever. It Orthodox Jews say it three times a day.
Oh, yeah.
Shema Alamita.
Hashem Echad, which has the same idea that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Rashi has the following
four.
What?
Four.
True. At least three times today. And Rashi has this beautiful comment, which not only summarizes, explains the phrase Shema Yisrael, but also like summarize like our goal in the world, and it's a great way that we're going to end Alenu with a Rashi. Read the Rashi on Shema, on Pasuk, Paragraph, Pasuk Dalet.
You must not be a Relief that goes to
them. Why?
Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
Relief that uses Rashi. He doesn't say it, but he uses Rashi all the time. So, yes.
Yeah. Hashem Hu Elokeinu. Ata Velo Elokei Ha'Ovdei Kochavim.
Okay, translate.
Hashem is the God. Hashem is the God now and not...
Hashem Elokeinu now.
Hashem is our God now and not the gods of the worshippers of stars.
Fine, so that's what means Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, who is only our God now, but not everyone else's God, what's going to be in the future?
Hu atid liyot Hashem Echad. In the future, he will be like everyone's God.
Exactly. Right? It's not just going to be, we perceive a Kadosh Baruch Hu the way he is, but everyone is going to perceive a Kadosh Baruch Hu the way he is. Okay? And now... pay careful attention to the psukim that Rashi quotes to prove this.
She'emar, Az Epoch Elamim, Safa Bura, Yikru Kulam B'Shem Hashem.
Okay, when have we seen that pasuk? Exactly, that's it. That's the same. Rashi quotes that pasuk from Sefanya that explains that everyone is going to Yikru Kulam B'Shem Hashem. Everyone is going to call a Kadosh Baruch Hu with Safa Bura, which we said doesn't mean Safa Echad. It's not this uniformity, but it's this unity. Everyone is going to be able to approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but in their own way. And then what's the pasuk he ends with?
V'ne'emar b'yomahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad.
Right, and then he quotes this pasuk from Zechariah, with which we conclude Aleinu. So essentially, the whole theme of the second paragraph of Aleinu and of all of Aleinu, as opposed to the first paragraph, which the emphasis was on Har Sinai and B'nai Yisrael's relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, we want to get to this point where Kaddish Baruch Hu isn't just this Har Sinai God, where we've had a revelation of Kaddish Baruch Hu, and therefore only we perceive Hashem the way He is, but we want to get to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, who is the Yam Suf God, right? That's why we quote the pasuk about Hashem Yilochu Lam Ed, who everyone sees the godless of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and everyone perceives the Kaddish Baruch Hu, each in the way that they're supposed to perceive. Some people through Tirek Mitzvah, some people through Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach, some people through this language or that language or this lens or that lens. But everyone needs to be able to relate to Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that essentially is the goal of Aleinu. So I guess just to conclude, I want to quickly run through Aleinu. We're not going to go through all the words, but just all the themes that we spoke about and summarize. And then we'll wrap up. Right, we started off by saying we as B'nai Yisrael have a job, Aleinu. It is our duty. Our duty is l'shabayach Adonai Kol to praise the Kaddish Baruch Hu, because we want to get to this goal of latit gedulah liyot harishi, of bringing the Kaddish Baruch Hu into the world. We explained why we have this job as opposed to anyone else, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu formed us in a way that we're a unit. And we're a role model, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu kind of intervenes to make sure we stay on the right track so that people are able to look up to us. And it's not because we're better than anyone else. Instead, why does a Kaddish Baruch Hu do this to us?
So we could be a role model.
Again, so we could fulfill this role of being a role model of Latik Yuali with Derbeshi. Then we said the end result is we have a perception of a Kaddish Baruch Hu that no one else has, because we recognize that a Kaddish Baruch Hu we worship him for his sake and not our sake. We recognize that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is powerful. We recognize that a Kaddish Baruch Hu encompasses the entirety of our lives, as opposed to just like different fragments of our lives. We spoke about things like that. And then we spoke about some praise of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, where we said that a Kaddish Baruch Hu created the world, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu plans everything in this world, that he sometimes makes look like he intervenes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the truth. He is Emet Melkeinu Epsilot Tov. Hashem is the only true. This is the only truth in this world. How do we explain that? Yeah? Whatever.
Everything else is
Yeah, everything else is dependent on Hashem. Hashem isn't dependent on anything. We spoke about all these reasons.
The only truth.
What?
Were
you there when we had the lunch thing? Okay, so I'll explain it after. But the point is, our job is to praise the Kaddish Baruch Hu and present him as this powerful God, the God who runs the world, everything in this world, and he is the most true God. And that's our job, that's Aleinu. But we also, there's another factor of Latikula that isn't just Aleinu, that we can't do alone. We need the help of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's why we're Nikavel Lecha Hashem. We hope but an active kind of hoping. We ask of you, Hashem, to help us and to do number one, the rope mirab to baruch zakah, to bring us the Beis HaMikdash, which is a physical manifestation of your power, because that's how you're going to do your part in spreading Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then the next thing is lahavir gulim and aris, to get rid of all the avodah zarah, so that once we've gotten rid of all the stuff, we're able to fill the world with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is all the takein olam v'malchut shaddai, to fix the world in the way it's supposed to be, by bringing the malchut of Hashem. And then we're going to get to all the points we spoke about today, that we're going to have a world where everyone recognizes you, but everyone recognizes you in their own way. We have diversity, and the idea that people's avodas Hashem is not just going to be limited to shul or to when you do daf yomi, but it's going to be limited to every aspect of your life. Tishavah kol hashon, even when you're just speaking, you speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And really, yeah, the whole point is to get everyone to do Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, to do a choosing, but to choose to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu not as a romantic relationship, but as a whole, as a commitment, to stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through thick and thin. And everyone needs to do this in their own way. And only once we do that are we able to get to this point of Kiyam Malchut Shalachahi. And that the kingdom really, we perceive the kingdom as really belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we understand it the way it's supposed to be, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the entire world. And that is the mission and the purpose of Am Yisrael. And we remind ourselves of that three times a day. And hopefully now we could be a little bit more aware of what we're saying, but also why we're living our lives and what we're supposed to achieve, and make sure all our lives are headed in this direction of achieving this purpose. So thank you everyone for joining me on this journey. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Anyone have any thoughts, comments, feedback? Ideas.
Thank you for your fun.
I don't want praise. I want like
what are your thoughts on doing a pep rally at the Knesset tonight?